fucking consistent
audio quality be damned. We want the AC on in this room.
Yeah, exactly. Consistency be damned. I'm sweating nuts.
I'm gonna go take a shower right after this, so fuck you. All right. Welcome to episode 11 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We've got our full six-man team here today.
Yay!
And we're going to be doing things a little different. Because we were at Anime North the weekend before this recording, we didn't have time to do a proper episode. So this week, we are going to do a double episode special.
Double?
Double.
We're going to be talking about Gaim episodes 30 and 31, as well as Tokyuger 13 and 14. And because of this, there will be no feature discussion this week afterwards like we usually do, but we'll be back next week with a fresh topic for you. So, hope you enjoy.
Now start the fucking intro!
No.
We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel!
Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud! Pink Caster, Lightred!
Rising from the ashes, Silvercaster,
Overkill!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai!
Cast Ranger! On air!
Okay, so, any general announcements to get off out of the way before we move on to Gaim?
Come play Wildstar with us. Insert what server we're on now.
Yeah, we're playing Wildstar. It's a fun MMO. Looks like it was made by Pixar. Interesting. Okay. Sorry for the random shout-out. I blame Dave. Let's move right into Gaim.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
Okay, so, starting us off this week is our beheaded leader, Mr. Joe Raven.
So, yeah, this week we had, well, the first episode of the two we're doing today.
Yeah, we'll do it like all of us talking about each episode and then the next episode.
It was the, Gaim crossover with Kikaider, which was definitely interesting. Well, with Kikaider being, you know, just not remembering shit and Gaim treating him like a pet.
Yeah.
He's a puppy. Can we keep him?
He's even named the same.
He's even named the same as that puppy I had when I was a kid. Can we keep him? I'm sorry, Koto. Oh, wait, he cooks and cleans. Sure.
Is so that not what happened?
Yeah. It started as my pet android into my house slave android.
Yep.
And he was totally okay with it.
I like Tokusatsu Pinocchio. Stop!
I want to be a real robot.
He does! He wants to be a real boy!
Okay, well, a brief summary of the episode. He meets this robot who, like, helps him destroy a monster or fight it off, whatever. And then he's like, "You're a robot. I'm going to take you home." And the robot's like, "I am grateful to you for helping me. I will do all of your house chores and shit." And the sister at first is like, no. But then once he starts cleaning shit, she's like, "Okay, he can stay. I even got us movie tickets." By the way, pay attention to what movie she tried to take them to.
What was that?
The Kikaider movie!
Okay.
Yeah. When'd you go watch Reboot?
Non-canon as fuck! Yeah. For many reasons, not just that one. I'll get into that after.
A number of things, really. But yeah, so a lot of things happen in this episode. So first and foremost, though, they start the episode off with a... Let's go back 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To events that happened before all this, you know, current stuff with Takatora getting thrown off a cliff and Sid betraying everybody and all that shit. Let's go 2 weeks before all that.
A simpler time.
A simpler time. A wonderful time where Professor Ryoma removed his own brain and stuck it in an android.
And just... water off a duck's
that
back.
Is that what happened?
Yeah!
Yeah.
And no one brings this up. It's just like, hey, Yoko, help me.
It's just, hey, it's like, hey, I'm just gonna draw these dotted lines.
He's just casually drawing surgery lines on his face. No big deal. Yeah,
casually just drawing a dotted line across his forehead.
And she's watching this happen. And she's watching like, nothing's going on.
She looks nervous as fuck.
But he's like, whatever, I got this.
I got this, don't worry.
I was catching up on my guy when I was all, and they were all like, episode 30, it's the crossover, it's is this what's happening in that episode I decided not to watch?
Yeah.
Sengoku put his brain in Hokkaider.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it was him at first, because, like, I heard his, like, little laughy, like, that, laugh he has, and I'm just like, I was like, no!
It didn't really...
No!
See, at no, here's the thing. At first, I thought he was possibly controlling the robot by remote. Then he taps his brain and says, you should know who I am. And then it fully hits me. You fucking put your brain in the robot?
Yep. That's what he did. I love that.
Talking about taking it for a test drive.
After this, Yoko's just like, all right, Professor Yama, do you want to, like, go back to your normal body? Fuck no, I love this body. And I'm like, oh.
Fuck no, this shit's awesome.
And even after he does go back to his own body, his head's wrapped up and shit, but he's seemingly perfectly fine from recovering from complicated brain surgery.
Yeah, his hair's, like, not changed at all.
Not so complicated brain surgery.
Apparently, he could just pop off the top of his skull, take his brain out, stick it in a robot, and still do this perfectly on his own.
Yggdrasil. Anyways.
The point of why this episode is non-canon.
The point on this one, though, is just... So, yeah, this happens only 2 weeks before that whole Ryoma calls everybody in and says, you guys need to go after Sid. 2 weeks after that, he does that. Number one, no scars from surgery. Number two, not wrapped up at all anymore.
Number three,
nobody present has anything to say about the fact that Professor Ryoma just recently tried to blow the shit out of them as a kiter.
Yeah.
That's what bothered me. It's more like, it's supposed to be 2 weeks before.
Exactly.
And they were standing there in the room.
It's like, you think about that and how that amazingly declares the episode is non-canon, and then you just go and think, well, sure, if the episode's non-canon, why did we even 2 weeks ago? Why couldn't just side story?
Yeah.
They needed to conveniently say, here's the timeline of everything that's happened up until now.
Kaido or anybody? Did anyone get a new power?
Here's what's worse. Okay. I feel like they could have gone in the complete opposite direction of this, in that they could have found some sort of magic voodoo to retcon this into this, like, you know, put it somewhere, you know what I mean? And just sign a deal over with whoever owns the rights to Kikaider and just kind of be like, that's Ryoma Sengoku's upgrade for the series.
But here's the thing. This means that not only is the entirety of this episode non-canon, it means the ending of the previous episode is non-canon because it ended with the shot of Kikaider.
Yep.
But whatever. I think it transitions into episode
Wasn't
31
pretty
nice. Wasn't
the ending of Kikaider after, like, credits?
No, the ending shot of episode 29 was Demushu flying into the city
out,
while Kikaider approaches her.
I'm just saying this right now, I'm okay with that last 2 seconds being non-canon.
No, I am too. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much my points on that episode.
Okay, moving on to Mr. Greencaster. That is you, Paul.
Mister, I was told that I wasn't aware that we had to watch this particular one for this episode. I have a history with Kikaider. I like to talk that I could talk about. I read the manga when I was in high school. I thought it was really, really fun. I bought it up at Excalibur Comics down that way.
Yeah. Well, the point of this episode was to promote the new Kikaider movie, which is called Kikaider Reboot.
Yeah.
It's called. Yes, I'm not kidding.
It's a reboot.
And
movie
he starts
called
the episode
reboot.
With him frozen. And he's like, can you push the
Oh yeah, by
button?
The way, Kikaider has like memory loss because he's damaged, and the way to reboot him is to turn a little holographic reboot switch button on his back.
No, it turns it to safe.
Could they shove the word reboot into our faces just a little more?
No.
Please!
What he does is that
I have some room in my ass!
He takes it and he spins it from not safe to safe, then pushes the button. It's like a safety button.
Yeah, I know.
Pinocchio comes from the net.
Yeah, he does.
He goes through systems, peoples, and cities to this room.
To this place, Zawami City.
Our place.
You joke. Room. You joke. Watch the Anime North opening ceremonies video.
His format, puppet. To mend and defend. Robotic puppet.
Kikaider to switch on and blow up.
Oh, I know what I can talk about. I can talk about my impressions on the episode before this that was canon, because I wasn't around for that episode.
Sure.
Sure, cool, fantastic.
29, go.
Roshio was cool. Roshio's awesome.
Roshio gets more awesome.
So cool. He's so bloody fair about everything he does, which is in this movie, but it's like he saved Takatora, and I'm so happy about that. And
it's not like he saved Takatora, he just didn't kill him.
He just wants answers. He wanted answers for things.
And I love Takatora's handling of that situation,
where
it's like, what's this for? We use it to eat so that we don't turn into those things. Oh, ha, clever. You monkeys are clever.
And there's a point on him observing that technology that I'll get into for the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing.
Some bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I like him a lot as an quote-unquote antagonist, I suppose. I don't think he's going to be a true antagonist or anything like that, which is why they're playing him as such a neutral party right now. But I just get the feeling that the show is just going to sway and ebb with the with right. his moods and stuff.
Neutral party.
Yeah.
That's what happened in the most recent episode.
No, I know, but he was forced
well,
to...
No, well, no, wait.
Yeah, that.
We will get into 31.
We're still on 30 here.
Would you...
anyway, we will get into that.
That's fine. Anyways, he just, like, he does seem very neutral about this entire thing. He's just sort of the guy who stands on top of everybody, just going...
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here, I've got what you guys want. I'm not going to give it to you, but...
You're welcome to try.
You guys can keep asking, that's cool. Like, just, it's just... I show me that you can handle it, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, it's more like, I'm hoarding it because A, I have goal X, and B, I know you won't handle it.
Yeah, because, you know...
And C, well, A, I have wife.
That's A.
Yeah.
That's I have
goal I'll get X. into that as well, because there's, like, so many problems.
I don't know how you force-feed Apple make wife go poof, but sure, whatever.
We'll get into that in a bit.
Michi's a douchebag all the same, all the time.
Is there anyone he won't scheme with?
No.
Slash against?
No.
No!
He found someone with the same fucking color scheme as him, and he's all right.
No, it's more like he found someone with the same fruit type, because grapes, cherries.
Yes, but still, same color scheme, and this guy's like all...
talking about the Overlord.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Overlord.
Well, that's 31.
About. Wrong episode. We're starting on the Kikaida thing, so we're going to cut off.
I thought you were talking about 29.
We're just everywhere.
Again, the problem is this was 2 weeks ago that I watched this, and it's like, I'm trying to put it on.
Oh, you're talking about Redue.
Yes.
Michi is, yes, I see what you're saying, because Redue is also green.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. They've got a similar color scheme, and I'm just like, well, you two are just teaming up now, aren't you?
And then the shipping begins.
Yeah, gross. Gross.
Now Kith.
Gross.
No, that was Sid.
Yeah. Oh.
So gross.
That thing where people are now imagining Sid X Redue.
Or Sid X. Oh, dear God.
Oh. Does everyone stab? I just got this image in my head of Michi and Redue getting married and wearing horrible
Sid X Michi.
And while Redue's wearing the dress... Almost should I?
No, they're both wearing horrible matching Christmas sweaters.
Sure. Of evil.
Yeah.
Anyways, since we're not on that episode yet, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, so next is Mr. Pink Cast Electric. Episode 30, go.
Crossover was alright. I thought it was going to be like an hour-long special like the Tokyuger episode was.
Oh, no.
Well, no, because, like...
No, I understand.
They were, like, that crossing would... over with Kikaider, so I'm like, cool, hour-long special.
That would actually involve Tokyuger crossing over with it at the same time. Because the reason it was an hour-long special is because it took Gaim and Tokyuger's spot on the channel.
Whatever. Anyways. The funniest part of the episode, I thought, was that Michi was just there to be like, hey, look, he's got this reboot thing button on his back. And then he fucks off.
He was there to translate the word reboot
exactly.
for Kota.
Yeah, so that was funny. And Kaido was nowhere to be found. Which is good.
Because Kota's a fucking idiot.
Kaider's okay, I guess. He didn't really show anything that was awesome other than, oh, I can kick, slide kick, and kick a blast.
By the way, I like that his henchman color is switch on. Hashtag Forza.
Well, yeah. It's obvious Kikaider had a lot of Forza, or, you know, Double and Forza had a lot of Kikaider inspiration.
Yeah.
So, overall, it was a cool episode. It was cute, but non-canon as fuck.
Kikaider had a pet robot.
Ryoma was cool as an android.
Yeah, he Hakai'd shit. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, Kaban. Uchigeiji Kaban.
Just... not anything exclusively outside what we've already discussed, but I like that in its glorious non-canonness, they all just manage to, at the end, when the reboot happens, it's just kind of like, okay, now he, A, remembers his purpose, B, doesn't remember shit about you.
I'm like, so that's not how computers work!
No, but the end
maybe his memory's based on RAM.
He just switched to a different partition.
Yeah, exactly. He booted up the Hackintosh.
He kind of runs on Apple.
You know, it's because the red and the blue, it's, those are the two different partitions.
Oh, there you go. My God, you've done it!
I did a thing, you guys.
In the future, one's going to be all, like, gray and bricky on one side, and the other side's going to be all sleek and white. That's the Kikaider of the future. Kikaider V3. Kikaider next gen.
Kikaider PC Mac.
Oh, goodness.
Pick Mac.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to add to the thing.
Okay. Yeah, the biggest thing for me in this episode was just the realization that Ryoma, with no focus or villainous panache or even any, like, narrative focus on it. Just, yeah, I put my brain in a robot, and I'm gonna shoot you with this gun I have, and I like to destroy things now because the programming's taking over my brain, but I still managed to escape in time to become completely obsessed.
Okay!
And then I make a comment about, oh no, these dark guys seem bad, you should go watch their movie!
Yeah, just who are these people of dark?
Bye.
And it's just kind of, but that was my big thing, was just kind of like, wait a minute.
The villains are called dark.
No, not that. Ryoma Sengoku had a moral qualm about something.
He thought something was too evil.
Yeah.
This is the man who's going to kill 6 billion people.
I was like, yeah, Mr. Global Thinning over here, just fucking, that's evil of you. So the pot can call the kettle
dark.
Black.
You monster.
You monster frisbee.
The blam you people calling yourself dark. How dare you be evil without me realizing it before this moment.
Yeah. And I thought the whole Kachidoki Kikaider combo he sets was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. And yeah, I already mentioned the fact that the movie they were going to go see was the Kikaider movie, so yeah, that's pretty much me on the Kikaider
episode. Let's go see this
movie. Non-canon as fuck!
Let's go see this movie. Hey, suddenly I know exactly who this robot is.
I know what to do!
He has to switch to his movie star hard drive, the secret third one.
What? The one in his dick. What? It's a USB drive. Ah!
Okay. Dave, anything to add?
The episode was fun. It at least entertained me while I played WoW.
I only looked over and understood about every third line, but whatever.
I've gotten to the point where I can actually watch the show and not have to look over at what's going on anymore. But the Hisatsu at the end like was the best part. It's just like, it was really fun. But I like the fact that he was like, the character Kikaider himself was actually very interesting. At least before he became Kikaider, you know what I mean? When he was in dog form.
Dog form.
Dog form.
Yeah, like, when he was like that, it was really cool. He's like, so aren't you gonna eat? Robots don't eat. Oh.
Okay, yes. Then.
Aren't you gonna poop?
Robots don't poop.
Yeah.
We do not poop.
What's a poo?
It's what you put on your butt. What's a butt? That's like, yes, I see it.
That's where I
God
that's
damn.
It's like, what's a butt? Is that, that's where I keep my recycle bin.
For yeah. The last time, I'm not a real boy.
But no, like,
but
it was
I
really,
want one.
It was really fun. Like, it actually was like, kind of like, okay, not to sound completely racist here, but seriously, did anyone else seem that he looked like the guy who does Excel, except if he would be more buff?
Kind of a little.
I didn't see it at all.
No?
I think it might have just been the jacket.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. It's the fashion
but
sense.
But yeah, it, and like the fact that like it was raining and he's like, oh god, he's still stuck out there in the rain. And they go to like...
He's doing the robot!
He goes to punch him and he's like to push him out of the way and it's like, conk! Oh, I guess what? Is he made of metal? No, Kona doesn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
All he does is try to keep pulling him and everything. And then... He turns on, apparently, and then magic.
The lightning.
Tang on!
You got hit by lightning.
Oh, yeah, you got hit by lightning.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, because getting hit by lightning just powers all the power cells.
Yeah.
Damn straight, it does.
I leave my computer out in a lightning storm every time.
Yeah.
All right, you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, we're going to go and move on to the good episode.
And the actual episode.
Oh, no, we're not doing... We're doing Gaim Gaim Tokyuger Tokyuger?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
Why the hell not?
I don't know.
Okay. Gaim 31, Where the Cid Happens.
Yes, Where Cid Happens.
That's the name of the episode.
Yep, yes. Cid Happens.
So, I am not going to have a chance.
Mr.
Cid's dead!
Shut up!
Shut up.
Edit that out. Edit that out.
Nah, I'll leave it. That's pretty much where I'm going with this.
Mr. Cherry Energy, please start us off.
Yes, totally. So yeah, Cid got fucked.
Yeah.
So that back to that comment from earlier where Mitchie will plot with just about anybody. Yeah, that thing where he betrayed Cid to a fucking
overlord. He betrayed the guy he schemed with to betray everyone else that he had schemed with.
Okay. Poor Turkish delight! I might be wrong about this, but just... It's not that he betrayed Cid, it's just he went there because whatever, and then he's like, and Overlord's just like, you're not going with him? And he's like, obviously it's a trap, you dumbass shit.
Obviously it's a trap.
So he's not betraying Cid, he's just saying Cid's an idiot, and I'll let him go get himself
and
killed.
And also, only one person can hold the apple, so I'm only gonna let him walk in there.
Although, I have to agree that Cid is a fucking idiot for, you know, not noticing what was fairly obvious about Redu's actions.
You mean like... And then Cid's whole, I'm not gonna stop, even though you've blown apart my belt and my Loxie and I have nothing left.
That
and
was
gonna,
cool.
I'm gonna just keep going, I want that damn fruit. And then he's just like, and then Roshuo's just like,
I like your grit. I hope you like this clip.
I like your grit. I'm gonna show you the full extent of me fucking with you, and like,
give him a rock of applause!
I like your grit, so here's me turning you into sandpaper.
Nice.
Now, is and is it just me, or, like I said earlier, when he was crushing him between those two parts of the cliff, I was just like, and now kiss.
Now kiss.
He made the rocks kiss.
He kissed himself with himself.
To death!
Yeah, he made the cliff kiss. It just so happened Cid was in the middle.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Later we find out that...
For those who are now spoiled, let's give a proper summation of the scene, because this deserves a proper
analysis. Well, how
about we start
from the beginning of the episode where, you know, other things happened?
Things are happening.
Well, we'll get to those, but we're talking about the important thing. So after Redway leads Cid and Michi to where Roshua is sitting, Cid's like, yeah, I'm gonna go get the golden fruit. See ya. And then... He discovers Takatora is there and sees that they've been chatting and is completely unsurprised by the fact that Takatora is still alive. I didn't expect to see you here. You expected to see him? Okay. So then he just like gets up in Roshu's face, totally not even thinking that this guy is a possible threat, but just gets up in his face. Give me the golden fruit. I'm gonna take the golden fruit. And understandably, Roshuo is like, no, fuck you. And then just... opens, like, he's using, like, a wind attack to, you know, shove him through cliffs and shit. And then he asks him one final time, are you sure you want to do this? And he's like, and here's one of the most interesting scenes with Cid. Well, it fucking has to be. It's his final scene. We actually learn Cid's motivations about why he wants the golden fruit so fucking bad. So you know that part where he's been working for Takatora and Ryoma and all these other villains the whole show? Being, like, you know, the Loxie dealer? Apparently he didn't like it, because his motivation in getting the golden fruit was, I don't want to take orders from anyone. Unfortunately, he picked a fight with, you know, God mode, and he ends up getting shoved into an open cliff and then squashed, as Kevin put it.
Also, he said he wanted to be more than human.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I think that's more of a poetic exaggeration. Technically, it could be achieved if he had the fruit, I imagine, but it was more about, I want power so no one will push me around. A very simple motive, I grant you, but it was interesting to finally know. Okay, so that's the analysis on that scene. So, any other points you want to talk about?
Not especially at that point.
Okay. Paul?
Roshuo, as I said, is fucking amazing as a character in this show.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about earlier.
I call him the exposition invis.
His whole thing with Cid was such a great scene. Like, I noted, like, you basically exposed that scene from one side with Cid's character development. Roshuo is standing on the other side just kind of going, dude, are you sure this is worth your life? Like, I get why it would be worth your life, but are you sure you really want to do this? And Cid's like, yup, I'm gonna keep doing this. Okay there, buddy. Well, I'm just,
Give him a round of applause.
He got Urabuchi'd.
Yeah. He got hit by the Urabuchi.
One thing I really I have to point out, and this is really significant, and not a lot of people picked up on this, this is the first character to die in the show as a human. Because think about it, Yuya and Hase both died as Invis.
Anywhere in any Kamen Rider show, ever.
No, there's been other human deaths.
Like human deaths of main characters?
Kaiza
got his neck snapped.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't watch it. This is the first human death in this series. The first death of a regular character.
Because Hase doesn't count because he was an Invis at that point.
And Yuya was as well.
Also, yeah. I liked the fact that when he like slapped him, it was kind of like a person squishing a bug between their hands.
That's basically what it was.
It was basically just like, this fly is really, really annoying. Are you sure you don't want to go over there where I can't see it? No? Well, anyway, then there you go.
He squished the fruit fly.
Yep. Fruit fly. Yeah. Yeah. I really, really, really enjoyed this episode. Not just for Sid's death or any of that other stuff. As I said... Takatora being alive is really good for me. Like I like where he is right now because he's just sort of standing outside of everything next to the person who's standing above everything.
Like he's standing next to God, getting the meaning of the universe explained to him.
He's pretty much just standing there with the dude who could like begin or end this entire situation and just being like, so this is what's happening behind everything. What like this is what you guys don't know is happening, and this is how this is gonna go. And I liked the fact that Helheim is revealed in this episode to not necessarily be inherently malignant or bad. Yeah. It's just a thing that seeps into different worlds, and it does bring power, but it's not the thing that destroys or suffocates the world in and of itself.
No, apparently they did that themselves.
It's the people who would use the thing for power that wind up being the world destroyers, and it's just... I think that there's just some poetic justice to that in the fact that, like, rather than, like, looking to humanity and sort of helping them out, most of the Invest or the Overlords have just been doing their own things, even looking down on humanity. Roshubo, like, grabbed Takatora, dragged him somewhere, and this is from the episode previous, but I just wanted to address this. Roshubo grabbed Takatora, who was half dead, could have just left there, could have just taken his Sengoku driver, because the Sengoku driver was there, he had it. He could have just walked off with the thing that he found, left him there to die, but no. He sat there, and the only thing he really ever asked of him was, hey, this thing, what does it do? Doesn't try to get any information about it.
Which is interesting, considering he's holding the fucking fruit of knowledge, but I'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, but at the same time, he just sort of...
He doesn't consume the fruit of knowledge.
He did.
He consumed his.
Yeah. He consumed his world.
Because remember, there's mention of two fruits.
Yeah.
The one
like
for
there's
the hell.
One for his world, and there's one for Earth. The humans now.
Yeah.
And he's holding on to the one that the humans... But I think the reason he hasn't actually eaten it yet is because it's not complete.
But most endgame...
Well, we have yet to discover what's going on with that. That would explain the problem I'm having.
They did mention, actually, in the previous episodes, that the fruit appears when a world has been completely overtaken. It's not fully... It's not ripe yet.
Okay.
My point is, most endgame Rider villains are... They tend to be just the big bad. They tend to just be the really, really big bad. Roshiro is the most powerful of the overlords. He's clearly this show's endgame.
You mean like the head of Zect?
Yeah, I know, but he was...
Big bad, eh?
He was just kind of a kid. I understand that, but still, most of them are. Most of them are just really... They're just the most evil person there. In this case, he... As I was saying before, he brings the guy back. He doesn't try to get any sort of, like, you know, he didn't try to torture him for information or anything like that. Just waits for him to wake up. Oh, hey, you're awake. Hey, what does this do? What does this thing do? And he just shows him, this is how we eat. Oh, clever.
It's not necessarily this is how we eat. It's more like, this is how we resist the forest and not starve.
Yeah, but he was more interested in the fact that, oh, that's ingenious. He wasn't thinking, oh, how can I weaponize this? He was thinking, that's really clever. Good
that
stuff.
That was pretty good on you guys.
Guys are ingenious.
And it's something like that makes me a little disappointed that after learning how creative and inventive humans are for non-violent purposes, he still is like, yeah, you guys aren't ready for this.
Of course they're not ready. Do you think they're ready as portrayed
it's
in this
show?
I mean,
no, but you think that would have inspired him a little.
He even said, that's nice. I like you guys. I like that. But hey, are you guys gonna, is, are you sure all of your people are gonna be using that for the right reasons? Mm. Even Takatora couldn't say anything.
Is this a weapon
because
or is this
his
a tool?
People.
Because Ryoma.
Because Ryoma.
He sat there and he asked him straight out, is this a weapon or is this a tool?
It's like, yes.
That specific one? No.
And Takatora's like,
well, it doesn't have a sword on it.
No.
So.
Takatora's like, I wanna call it a tool, but I just got my ass kicked by people using it as a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. I like the fact that he's ambivalent. I like the fact that Roshuo is just someone who's just on really high and is just assessing the situation. Just being all like, so this is what's going on.
Except for that thing where he himself does need the fruit for his
own. He does need the fruit for his own end game, but at the same time, he has shown that he's not resistant to if it's more the right thing, if they're truly ready for it. He gave him Kiwami arms. I think that was pretty interesting.
There's kind of no downside to that, because by the merit of the fact that he still had the golden fruit after giving him Kiwami,
I consumed the previous one. I'm equal to whatever the fuck this is.
But it's more like, I think the Kiwami lock seed is it's hard to word this correctly.
Here's the thing.
It was produced by the golden fruit. It is not a piece of it.
It was produced by the golden fruit that it's not a piece of it, but that does mean that it runs on the same sort of power.
Right.
That it does.
And that's why it's endgame form.
And that is still him handing humanity that power. Like, even if it's a fragment of that power, here's a taste.
One thing to note, I like the fact that Sagar comes up, takes the Kiwami lock seed, and just fucks off with not even a look at Takatora.
Yep. Yeah.
You'd think out of, like, respect, he'd at least say hi.
Well, he can't really, like, on Roshuo's
Dakota.
He's working for Roshuo. They seem to have a respect.
I wouldn't say
him.
Working
I wonder
for
who
Roshuo.
Would be with. I wonder if
it's more like they're
working with.
They're on friendly terms, and Roshuo doesn't mind helping Sagra to test the theory. It's like, I'll give you this, prove me wrong.
I wonder who's stronger between the two.
Who, Roshuo or Sagra?
Yeah.
Well, we have no idea what
exactly.
Sagra can do yet.
We don't even know.
We know
he
can create lock seeds from fucking nothing.
I feel like
he made orange and then he made the other one.
You know what?
He didn't make orange.
I feel like Sagra's like the remaining member of the race before the overlords.
Mm-hmm.
Very possible.
Like, I have that feeling, like, he's not one of them. I feel like he was in Roshuo's position when Roshuo was trying to attain the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is like we've swapped positions, and now I'm just feel like fucking around now.
I feel like Roshuo controls the power of the golden apple, but Sagara contains the inherent power of Helheim. He's just got that sort of power under his command.
Here's the thing. Here's something to support your idea, Raven. Mm-hmm. If he is from the race before the Invest, maybe the reason he has all these freaky powers is he has that race's fruit of knowledge.
Indeed.
That might be it.
Very possible.
All I know is I liked this episode. Michi's always been a jerk off. He was a jerk off in this fucking episode, betraying everybody everywhere all the time. Fucking where in the world
is he ever gonna be back to his
he
respect?
Is the Joffrey of
as
this
a comment
show.
No, a comment that I saw to the episode, even Michi's shadow's douchey.
Shadow Michi.
Moving right along. Boom.
So the face Kevin just
this
gave
episode
me.
This episode was very good because Sid died, and I gotta say, Sid's actor, like, marvelous performance. Like, really, no,
literally.
Like, really good. Like, you saw, like, the passion Sid had. Like, I'm not gonna fuck around. I don't want to.
I almost felt sorry for him during that.
Yeah, so I was like, cool. But honestly, the episode for me goes to Kaido.
Yeah, a lot of interesting Kaido
the
development.
The best part in the episode, from my opinion, other than Sid's death, was Ryoma's like, "Oh, I don't want I don't want Koda defeating the Overlord, detain him and stuff like that." So like Yoko and them all like fight him and stuff. And as Kaido rescues Koda and takes him away, he just turns to Yoko and just goes, "You could have asked him to help you. Your guys are idiots." Walks off with them.
Ryoma's just a bad tactician.
Also, Ryoma and in Duke the entire... I might be absolutely wrong about this, and it's totally fine if I'm wrong. I like to think that Ryoma's actor was off doing something else, maybe some Garo-related shit,
but I don't think they had his actor for that time, so they just got him to do some quick voiceover work, and then they just had him in the suit. Because why else would he be in the suit for?
Well,
why?
Kevin had a theory on that.
We got to learn more about Kaido, like, why he wants this power.
Just real quick before you move on with more Kaido, about Duke working in full Henshintai, you want to say your theory real quick?
Well, like I was saying, it's just that the rider system developed by Ryoma is a technology, and as a technology, we've learned through media that if it is a piece of technology, it can be hooked up to a computer. So it was just a matter of a Iron Man-esque HUD for him to work at freely.
I like to think that, you know how a belt will improve someone's physical strength? I like to think that maybe he's modded his to increase his intelligence somehow.
Also, seeing that, Duke but... in where he was in, like, in Yggdrasil, I was just like, this is giving me an Orga feel again, where Duke shouldn't be out fighting and shit like that. He should just be sitting on his throne, ruling from where he is, and just giving everyone else shit to do.
Here's what I'm gonna go with for headcanon for that scene. I like to think Ryoma just felt like looking sexy while he worked in full armor.
But anyways, back to Kaido. So yeah, we got to learn why he wanted power. But what's awesome is he still was being a dick about it. Well, and that's like, it made Kaido go like, you fucking asshole, blah 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 this. And Kaido was just like, hey, how I am.
No, not just that. We actually learn something very interesting about Kaito, and this is a small shred of character development. We learn why he wants power. Because he says, yes, the strong prey on the weak. It's what they do. It's their nature. We have to not become weak so we can stand up to them.
Yes.
So we discover that, no, he doesn't just want power for fire's sake. He's actually trying to defend people. His own way.
Because of this episode, like, I like Kaito a lot more now. He's in my top 3 favorite characters in Gaim now.
You look at him and you can, like, see his sense of humility when he just looks at it and goes, no, I'm still a douche nozzle. No, I'm still gonna be searching for power, but like you said, I need to be able to be strong so that we can stand up to them. And after all this time of being number one, it aggravates him when he goes, Coda, you're that much stronger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, you're the business. I used to be the business. Why aren't I anymore?
Yeah.
So it's his pursuit of, there's no way you can get there and I can't. So I feel like he's almost mad at himself.
He's Vegeta.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the, why are you stronger than me?
I feel like if he got bit slapped around enough, Kaido would be, when he got his ass kicked by Namusho, he was pissed off, like when Vegeta got his ass kicked by 18.
In terms of character analogy, yes, but Vegeta was way more selfish than Kaito is. Vegeta wanted power to be powerful. Kaito wants power to fight off the enemy.
Also, he wanted to be better than Goku. That's where I'm going to disagree on that one. It's like that whole speech Kaito gave about why he wants power. You guys are assuming he means that in that case. That to me, that felt less of a I want power to protect people and more I want power so that I'm not included in that number of the weak.
Yeah.
So that I'm not the one being pushed around.
Hence my still thing.
In my head,
he gave his answer, but he was still a dick about it.
Yes.
You're correct. You worded it better.
I don't think that he wants to protect people at all. I think that was just a matter of, the strong prey on the weak. That's why I don't want to be numbered among the weak.
Exactly. So you're selling Coda.
You know what? That's exactly it.
You're selling Coda just like, stop trying to reason with these things. Just get more powerful so you can protect yourself.
Oh, and by the way, Coda finally realizing that fact was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and also Kachidoki got his ass kicked.
Yeah, the first time we've seen Kachidoki not overpower everything.
I was so happy. I don't like Kachidoki.
He just got outnumbered as fuck.
I just don't like the flags.
I love the flags.
They're part of the motif.
Fucking goddamn suit is fucking god awful, and I fucking hate it.
Well, look at it this way.
Kachidoki. I can't wait for it to be over.
Look at it this way.
Each their own, man.
Based on the magazine scans, apparently the way he goes into Kiwami is by casting off the Kachidoki armor.
Good. So he doesn't look like shit anymore.
Considering how it goes from
end of Kamen Rider.
Yeah. Considering how he goes from heavy armor to just fairly light
Daimyo.
Yeah. I would imagine that would have to be a caster.
From seeing the magazine scans of what Kiwami can do,
he wields all of the arms weapons.
He can do wield them!
And the Musou Saber.
He was wielding Ryugen's gun in fucking the Melon Defender, and I'm just like, holy shit! Okay. Well, anyways, that's my thoughts. So, yeah, Kaido
hashtag
Kaido wins.
Spoiler.
Kaido wins this episode for him, but yeah, Sid's death. Oh my god. And now kiss.
Okay, Kevin.
I don't even know where we are anymore.
Exactly.
Sid dying.
Golden Fruit, Takatora, Sid died, Michi's evil.
Takatora's a badass.
Yeah, he is.
I'm just going to say that every week. Mm-hmm. It'll work out.
Eventually, it'll be true.
I was going to say, Takatora's a badass, Michi's an asshole, Kota's a dumbass, Sid's a dead.
It is a dead.
Okay, you know what? I'm tempted to make that the name.
Sid is a dead.
Sid happens.
Sid happens.
No, I like Sid is a dead better.
No, but then the title is flat out spoilers.
Well, they have to have watched the episode before listening to this anyway.
Or so we hope. But if it's the title, they don't necessarily have to have seen the episode before they see the
Can't
title.
Can't we just have it be a subtitle?
Probably.
Like just a colon. Sid is a dead. Anyways.
The whole forbidden fruit thing, that will forever be an intertwining mystery until Urobuchi decides to just tell us.
Yeah.
Like, it's got way too many questions. Very similar to Yoko, where it's just there's way too much depth going on for me to make guesses.
I like all those old theories that throw around in show about the forbidden fruit, and I just go... Yeah, Helheim responsible for the Trojan War.
Jesus. But yeah, I don't know. The whole Kiwami thing, I think it was really cool. Just because to me, that looked like a level of respect, I guess, between Redue and Sagara. In which it was like, you know what? I know these monkeys
You mean Roshuo?
That's what I meant. Sorry, Roshuo and Sagara was just kind of like, you know what? I know these monkeys are going to fail out, so I don't care what you do. But if you've got any ounce of faith left in any of this, just
take a slice.
Yeah,
try
really,
this
just,
thing.
It's like, try. And then I love it. But that's just it. As far as we know, he has to assume that he knows what Kachidoki is and
it
works.
I'll get into that, because I have
between
a spiel on that.
Sagara making Kachidoki and Roshuo just kind of whipping out the thing for that, it's like, where do you stand that you knew what that was? Or is it that...
It's more like thinking
out
what design...
itself in the best possible thing he would
As a
need.
Compliment.
Is just it... sort of, like, it wasn't that he pulled out Kiwami, he goes, I'm gonna pull out a thing.
Because
I'm gonna pull out a power. And
like
that power happened to be by the power of this fate that, totally not... What's her name? The Princess of Fate.
Oh, my?
Oh, yeah.
Not my?
Yeah, not my.
Not my.
Yeah.
Keeps going
no,
on about
Not my
that,
name.
Or,
see,
you know...
When
in,
I, not my
no,
name.
What
I got
not
from,
my name.
What I got from Roshiro giving Kiwami, making Kiwami arm with Loxie was just... You guys want to know what I'm smoking? Here, have a little sample.
I've got
If you like it, you can try and keep going for it. But I'm not giving
you.
But I'm not giving you mustache.
But it was just very. He entrusted.
I hate how accurate that was.
He trusted it to Sagara to just kind of be like, if you're so sure. But what's great about it is, Sagara's betting on the right pony, sort of thing. You know what I mean? Where it's just kind of like, that's really. Like, fortunate that that's how that happened.
Or that's something that he was well aware of ahead of time, because I'm going to reiterate that theory of Sagara was quite possibly the guy in Roshuo's position when Roshuo was just a normal person.
No, I know.
Just
so he's already had the fruit, he knows.
just saying.
But that's like, but that's establishing that the Kiwami Lockseed form was already a predetermined thing, which I don't think it is. I'm gonna get into that on my turn.
I'm just saying. I think that Kachi. We were talking about how he created Kachidoki, and this thing fits with Kachidoki.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much that he created Kachidoki. I think that these Lockseeds are all things that particularly exist. I think he just has the ability to. Hey, look, fruit. I'm gonna use this to bring the Lockseed into existence here, because that's the way it works.
But if a fruit has a set form as a Lockseed, why was it orange? Why was it Kachidoki and not just an orange Lockseed then?
But it is an orange Lockseed. Kachidoki is orange themed.
No, I know, but it's like the super orange. But you're saying
that... Yeah, but that is to say, if you were to pick one of the Helheim fruits, it could become an orange. Whereas Kachidoki was specifically an orange.
I understand.
It was very, you know,
we could throw on theories all night about how
I guess. Anyway,
each Lockseed form is determined.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my point on just the whole how this forbidden fruit thing may or may not
work. The thing is, picking the Helheim fruit is the power of the belt, whereas Sagara making Kachidoki was unexplained.
I also think that's just Sagara knowing Coda and how his thing works.
Well, that's the thing. We don't really know if Kachidoki was a thing that Sagara designed or just spawned.
I think he
I'm going to get into that.
I think he just summoned it because it has a companion.
Well, see, there's a lot of problems with that idea as well. Whose turn was it even?
I was wrapping up mine.
Okay, so...
We can just segue into yours if...
Okay, so, here's the thing. This is what I observed. Now, this is my theory. A lot of people may disagree with me. So, Roshuo and Takatora, what does this belt do? Oh, it's a thing. We take your fruits and we put them in the belts. And they not only resist the forest draw, but we can survive off of them. Oh, okay, that's cool. Less than an hour later, he takes this magical fruit of knowledge. Now, I understand we don't have a basis for what is included in said fruit of knowledge, but we are to understand that Roshuo, after observing the function of the Sengoku belt, presumably less than an hour ago, understood its function to such a degree that he was able to use this magical fruit of knowledge to not only understand the Sengoku belt technology, completely replicate its design and function, but to go so far as to even make what I call a parody, because not only did he make a Lockseed, but he made a key Lockseed.
If I may, I think the Lockseeds in their Lockseed form are not a thing that were manipulated by Yggdrasil. That is their natural state, and I think that Sengoku Driver was designed to use Lockseeds, knowing what they were.
See, that's a thing that we can't really confirm, but a lot of theories could go either way. It's hard to say whether each individual fruit has a set Lockseed form or if the belt does it.
I don't know about that. It has to be the belt, because the belt just happens to turn the fruit into what works in that system. It has to be something that Ryoma would have designed to go... Because he knows the genetic makeup of the fruit at this point. He studied it enough to go, I need a machine that can take these particles and manipulate them to my what I need to be. Because...
But
think about this. And here's my leg to stand on.
No, I see where you're going with this.
Without a belt, it stays a fruit.
No, but here's the thing.
Always.
Your theory does have legs, but there's really two ways that the Sengoku belt could have been designed. Theory A, every Helheim fruit has a Lockseed form, you know, hidden within its DNA, whatever.
Okay.
The belt just brings it out and purifies it to give it form. The belt just also happens to be designed to work with the fruit as a Lockseed in its form.
Because it is human design and would be designed that way.
But here's the thing. Theory B, these are fruits with the power of fruits and whatever. The belt was designed to extract them and manufacture them into the Lockseed. And the belt was designed with that function in mind, whereas
I'm taking
this thing that has a power and changing it into a power, and this belt is designed to use that power.
Yeah.
So it's the idea of it all boils down to where the idea for the Lockseed is really dormant within. Is it something dormant within the programming of the fruit? or is it something completely made by the belt?
Then, can we agree that both Sagara and the Sengoku drivers draw from the same power source, or at least use the same power, because they both have the same inherent power? Both can
but
change
here's the thing.
Here's
the thing. You gotta understand that Sagara very much knows about the Sengoku belt and how it works. So the idea is he designed Kachidoki into a form specifically for into something that Koda could use with
the
belt.
I was gonna say, Sengoku driver in mind.
I wouldn't say Kachidoki is a naturally occurring form of any fruit or Hellhem or otherwise.
No, I'm not implying that. What I was implying is that the Sengoku driver utilizes the power of the lock seeds and gives you the ability to grab a fruit and turn it into a lock seed, should you so choose. That is what DJ Sagara can do freely and willingly. That's his power.
But the thing is, that doesn't explain how Sengoku Ryoma was able to harness that ability into a piece of technology.
Sagara had been working with Yggdrasil for a long time
before. No, but he was never anything to them other than an information dealer. Otherwise, they would have shown him a lot more respect. We are to understand that Ryoma designed the belt by himself.
You gotta remember, but Kachidoki as, like, the, sorry, the Kachidoki.
I still think there might have been some back, like, behind.
Well, that's a thing we'll never confirm.
Even then, when they talk about Sagara, it's like the Yggdrasil guys, when they talk about Sagara beforehand, he was just this
you
guy.
You think we're a little over-obsessed with this?
They had, yeah, no kidding. they spoke of him as just, he's that guy who's running part of our information control. He has nothing to do with the project as a whole.
Which is why when Sagara
started... They flat out stated it.
Yeah, which is why when Sagara started, you know, saying intelligent things, Takatora was like, shut up, you're an info dealer. But back to my point.
What do you mean Koda got thing from Sagara? The fuck? Sagara's an internet celeb. What the hell has he got?
Yeah, but anyways, back to my point. So, we are to understand that Roshuo understood and duplicated and even parodied this technology using the power of the Fruit of Knowledge.
Not just any part of the technology, Genesis driver lock seed.
No, it's not even that. The way that works in the belt is it's a different type of core slot expansion. The Kiwami lock seed toy will presumably come with it.
Just
it is a
here,
third
okay.
type of slide-in okay. attachment. But here's the thing. Kachidoki, we are to believe that it was designed and created by Sagara. What kind of foresight must he have had to design a lock seed with an actual lock slot in it and then receive the Kiwami lock seed, which is, you know, meant to go there? You gotta think that either he has some crazy fucking foresight, or maybe the Kiwami lock seed was always a power of the forbidden fruit? It's really hard to say.
Alright, well,
I think we've gone on long.
Yeah. Alright, David,
anyways,
how did you like
one other thing
it
I wanted
was good,
to,
next!
One other thing I wanted to say was, it was awesome watching Demushu paint the town explosions.
And then kill plastic furniture!
Thank you, that's
plastic furniture!
Fuck these plastic tables!
No, I was...
Stupid
I was,
apes!
I was enraged on that. I was just kind of like, no. So this guy goes leaping through this dimension going, I'm gonna fuck everything on this end of the world.
Yeah, like he's like, I'll blow this motherfucker up!
Yeah,
and then he gets back, like, plastic furniture!
Yeah, it cuts back to him and he's dismantling plastic furniture with his feet. And I'm just kind of like,
it's more like, you lowly apes,
sir!
You lowly apes, how dare you have patio furniture?
Just, and it just
you are not worthy of these confectionaries!
Just, I was like, you couldn't have made something out of foam for him to, like, smash open. No, he just looks like an asshole. Just
and
kick
like,
it over.
You ruined my picnic.
Like, yeah, exactly. Just lawn furniture.
You fuckers.
Just, like,
I also like.
What's wrong with
I
you?
I also like the fact that apparently Yoko plays PR with the fucking mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're sorry we're fucking up your city. Fix this now.
I promise we'll have it cleaned up in 30 minutes.
My candidacy is on the line here.
You're a puppet government. Fuck you.
Anyways, yeah, all right. That's me. Dave, you done?
Yeah, I don't know what else to talk about.
All right, Tokyo
Shinko! You had like a fucking like 30-minute conversation about how belts work.
That's how I work.
Rather important.
Okay,
you
we're going
to... nothing to bitch about.
Okay, we're going to move into Tokyo
Shinko!
Precious Sentai Tokuger!
What?
I'm leaving. I don't know. I don't watch Tokuger.
Alright, so here's the Tokuger portion. So, Raven, All right. Oh, well, first off, so, yeah, so we're doing two episodes of Tokyuger. So the first one was, I honestly, it was 2 weeks ago, so I barely remember. Something about, like, a magnifying glass monster.
And the fire Russia.
Yeah, the fire Russia, that was the thing.
And then there was something about light going, I want to eat things, and then suddenly being like, I know where the thing is.
Right. It was about light going off and doing whatever the fuck he wanted, and Mio being, stop doing that!
We need to look for the train, and then light found it before everybody else.
He was playing on it.
He was just walking around. I think this is a train. It's a giant fire extinguisher. I think this is a train.
Yeah, I love the whole thing where, like, conductor was just like, yeah, it's the extinguisher rush, or smoke rush or whatever like that.
I literally said fire rush.
Yeah.
Everyone else was calling it the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, but Ticket was just like, it's fire, you dumbasses. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you, hand puppet Teddy.
But yeah, it was just a matter of just, like, the both of them were just kind of, it's like extinguisher Russia, and then it's fire Russia. Both of them. Is it?
And then when they finally...
giant label yeah. in front of them that
honestly,
says fire.
And then when they finally, it finally clicks in their heads, oh yeah, it shoots fire.
No, but that was just it. I was like,
even the monster was like, it shoots fire?
Yeah, I was like, it's a fire extinguisher, but I was like, I get the idea of calling it a fire Russia, but I feel like they're right. Like, why isn't it extinguisher Russia? And then the fight happens, and I was like, oh, okay. Just also, it does both.
That thing has a flamethrower and an extinguisher.
It's pretty much the hat gun in a train, form of a train.
But here's the thing. Think of it. We don't call it a fire extinguisher truck. We call it a fire truck.
It's Forza Fire States.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And now I really hate that episode more than I already
have. Chicken
Your fault. Your fault. You did it.
That was a sudden realization where I was just like, oh god, I hate that episode
it's
more now.
It's the Fire State Zord.
I can't
wait
for these.
Also, meanwhile with the villains, it's interesting to find out that Schwartz is kind of slowly finding out, oh god, Grimace is the hots for me.
Oh god, I'm being crushed.
The worst part is
chicken nugget.
The worst part is he doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah. No, he's just like, oh. And Zed's like, your eyes are shiny.
Meanwhile, I think he's being more professional about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because he noticed her holding like his handkerchief or whatever, and he's just like, why do you have that still?
Yeah, I don't know. I know he knows, but it's just kind of like, give me time and I'll...
I haven't decided how I feel about this.
Maybe it's just a matter of, you know, how do I help her help me help her here?
Also, that thing where she's betrothed to my king.
Exactly.
I don't think it's even that. I think it's just, I am a military man. This is kind of new. I'm not sure how I should react.
How do I?
War on my life.
This relationship.
I'm a fighter.
How?
And she's engaged to my king, and
you know
I'm
what
not
it is?
Lancelot.
You know what it is? How do I chicken nugget?
And Baron Nero.
How do I Lancelot?
And Baron Nero still trying to convince go up to Zen, be like,
leave him alone.
Please stop liking shiny things. Like darkness, please? And Zed's like, fuck you, no. Like, Kila Kila.
Fuck you, Bird Nose.
Fuck you, Kira Kira.
I like
fuck you, Lelouch. And Madame Noir was just...
Okay, we're getting a little disorganized here. Anyways.
Are we disorganized?
We pretty much covered the entire episode just in that disorganized mess right there.
Okay,
let's go into the more interesting. Hold on.
I just want to point out one thing. Okay, the Shadow from this episode is officially my favorite Shadow ever. Because he was a fucking magnifying glass Shadow with a giant-ass monocle sticking out of the side of his face.
That sounds stupid.
And he shoots solar beams!
That sounds really stupid.
And he says incidentally a lot.
It was really stupid.
He has to charge between turns.
He actually did.
I feel like he just run around killing ants.
No, it was
and
fun.
That was the joke they made.
No, the best part is his ass.
He's a magnifying glass.
That was how they figured out what he was doing to the town. He's like, they're like, wait a minute, what was
why
that?
Is he, why is he painting the town black?
Yeah, that was the thing. He was actually painting buildings black so they would burn better.
The crows were painting.
I'm going to shine magnifying glass light on black painted buildings and see them burn.
This is my monster plan. I will burn them with a magnifying glass of doom.
The most noble, refined-looking motherfucker since the actual villains.
What about that? You mean like lamps?
And the water will run up!
Yes. And we will blame it on Gorgum.
Curse you, Gorgum. It's all your fault.
It's Gorgon, you moron.
Oh, yeah.
It's Gorgon.
I also like that same Rotokati derped the fuck off of the bridge.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that's episode 13. All right,
let's do the next episode.
Moving from the fire engines to the police car.
Which is awesome. Tokyo Police, my fave so far.
Let's put it this way. Our notes on episode 13, 5-6 lines. Episode notes on 14, the rest of the page!
Yep. So, I know I'm supposed to be going first here, but I want to save my point for last, and
yeah.
Right, Ransack and Itchy can totally see my paragraph.
I'll go next.
By all means,
Alright, so, first off, Hikari really, really got into this whole detective thing. Really a lot.
By the halfway point, he was dressed as fucking Sherlock Hikari.
He called himself the Kendama Detective, and I'm like, alright.
He had his own opening thing.
Right. I'm like, yes.
This is a reference to something.
It was a reference to every Japanese detective drama ever.
Yeah.
Also with conductors.
They even had a shot of him rolling out from behind a wall with his Kendama in hand, like, using it like a
pistol.
They ever at any point bring up Edogawa or Ranpo?
Maybe. It was like classic Japanese detective drama opening theme.
Everyone was calling each other boss a lot.
No. They were calling conductor boss. Yeah. And then conductor was like...
And the cop.
No, and conductor was just like, alright, I can get into this. Puts on a fucking pair of aviators.
Deal with it.
No.
I'm the boss of this office. I'm putting on the aviators.
That's my favorite part. Just... Ticket going Takatora on this. Just
the luck is wrong.
Everyone's doing their thing, and he's just like, "No,
what are you doing?
Why are you calling him boss? Why are you talking like that? Yes. Why are you wearing? What's going on?
Yeah, no. During the big fight sequence at the end, or whatever was going on, and he looks out the window. What are you looking at?
The conductor.
He can't see what's happening.
No. Conductor actually had a set of blinds installed on the frigging train, just so he could pull them down.
And look out the window.
And it's like, I can't believe they've managed to do that. And Ticket's like, you can't see it from here!
No, the best part is right at the end, the last scene of Conductor and Ticket, and he's got a fucking giant-ass brandy glass!
Yeah.
Like bigger than his head.
And
the best part is it's already almost empty. He's already drank it.
And the one
also,
can't show him actually drinking it. It's literally so curved you can barely get the actual drink in it to his mouth. He's like, I'm not actually drinking on a kid's show.
I just saw that glass, and I'm just like, holy shit!
Okay, well, the summary of the episode was that they were trying to find... Well, they weren't finding support rush, so they were just like, we're stopping in this town for like half an hour. Go do something. Half a day. Go do something. Okay. This detective comes up to them, who's awesome, by the way. I thought he was highly episode.
Despite how fucking incompetent he is.
Comes up to them and just goes, you're under arrest! You're arresting all of you! And they're all just like,
hey, you guys just got off a train from Lord knows where. I'm blaming you for this robbery, for all these robberies in the immediate area. You're under arrest.
Why? Yeah.
And zero people question this.
Moving over to the villains, though, which was interesting. So, like, you see Greta's just like, I don't want to marry the Emperor. I really don't want to marry the Emperor.
For the fifth time in the last
as we talked about in the last episode. You just see Schwartz standing there just going,
this is the thing.
She digs me. Oh. Okay.
I should tap that.
No! Do not tap the chicken nugget!
I should dip that!
Madame Noir goes up to
in the sauce!
I'm having my monster stealing a bunch of shiny shit for Greta's wedding dress, so you'll like it.
And I was gonna say, like, cool. Schwartz is gonna dip his nugget in her sauce, if you know what I mean.
Sweet and sour! he's gonna dip it in the grape sauce!
No, it's ranch.
But yeah, Tokyo Police, fucking awesome. Kevin was like, it's stupid, why does he need to have handcuffs? So he can cuff the enemy from a distance and then shoot the fuck out of him until he explodes.
But it doesn't cuff them from a distance. It cuffs the arm.
And then he cuffed him.
Like, it spawned like, more train than Space Jam.
But yeah, I'm so picking silly. Up the police Russia, like, instantly.
Two points about the police Russia. A, comes the fuck out of nowhere. It's just sitting in the monster's stash.
Yeah,
hey, like,
look, it's a port Russia.
Yeah,
let's use it.
Like, just picks it up. Hey, look what's here, guys.
I thought I saw something vaguely plot-related.
I didn't done fuck up for once.
Also, the fact that when the police Russia finally kicks into action, the first thing it does is fucking whips out a giant-ass pistol and starts shooting it.
And also seeing Kagura dressed up in a detective outfit, too,
that
was fucking crazy.
Like, that came out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, Hikari's dressed in an outfit because he's, you know, solving the case. And then, like, no one else but Kagura is also in a detective outfit. Why? You
because
didn't do
she's
anything!
Fucking adorable.
Because she's a detective girl.
Because she's the most gullible.
She's Nanako.
Oh!
Loveline!
I felt so sad for when they're in the jail cell and you just see her going like, no, why are we being arrested? I don't like this. And she's like freaking out and Mio's like, no, Kagura, it's okay, calm down. And I'm like,
oh. Yeah, can we also
That's
just
why
mention,
I hate Kagura.
I
she's
love,
a whiny bitch.
I love Kagura.
Can we just mention the one thing? When they activate the police Russia and it just so happens it's right underneath the goddamn police station.
Yeah.
Oh, but on top of that, owner just goes over to his installed blinds. He's like, who knew it would be there? It's under a police station. Where the fuck else would it be?
Seems pretty apt.
Yeah.
You can't
but
even
I
see
have
it.
To agree for
you
once.
You can't even
no,
see it
this
from
is
here.
Gonna be a surprise. I thought for once that the imagination cannon was stupid.
Shot Tsuchi! Because
Sushi
it was a mild
mirage.
Plot point! Because, okay, here's the thing. The monster in this episode was actually another really awesome one. It was an elephant-themed vacuum monster, and it was stealing shiny things for the Emperor. Among these things that it stole, a plate of shiny sushi. Yeah. And because they managed to predict where it's going, they track it back to its hideout where it's got all its stash, which is where they find the police, Russia. Yeah. So then, because they're the Tokyugers and they're sadistic fucks, their, you know, big imagination cannon attack is a plate of shiny sushi.
It was a barrage of sushi.
Oh, another quick mention. I thought it was fucking hilarious when, like, the monster was, like, throwing shit at them, and Takati just gets one right in the fucking face. He's just like,
Yep. And then it shoots fucking electronics at them.
Yeah, shoots electronics. Takati just gets one right in the fucking face, and you just see him like, oh, God! And I was like, that was funny. Takati, you're stupid.
Just a quick note. Because I don't really have too much to say about the episode other than just, I get, because of the reason I'm really into Sentai in the first place is, I really like the big mech versus monster battles. That's kind of why I stick around in most cases. So those, when it's a good one, the rest of the episode doesn't really affect me as much. But it was really cool. Like, I like seeing the Shadow Line Zords.
Yeah, you
the Corriders.
Like, we see often enough where it's just, they fight the monster and then it's over. But nice, it throws you off guard to once in a while just kind of, one of them shows up and you're like, bullshit, it's 2v1 now, how are they going to get out of this one?
Oh, okay, this is going off topic kind of a bit to the last episode, but I liked in the beginning of the last episode where Light was just spamming the fuck out of Cho Tokyo, and Conductor's like, it's not supposed to do that, don't fucking use the shell out of it.
Which is an interesting point, because you always, sometimes when you're watching Sentai, you're like, why don't they just go to the super form right away?
And now
this,
we know
this
why!
This is an interesting cross-section of that point.
But yeah. No, Chocho-Kyo is
not
technically not,
that.
Yeah, no, and Chocho-Kyo is not even supposed to be a thing. It's just something Light was like, we can do this, we can mash them together into make an awesome robot.
And Conductor's like, this is not in the blueprint, stop doing it so goddamn much, you darn kids.
On the note of the Zord battle, the one thing I don't know, Police Tokyo's really ugly.
No,
I don't mind it.
No, I think it's
love it.
Okay, well, Tokyo's hideous to begin with.
True.
That sucks. So, I don't know.
That gun, though.
The gun is interesting at best.
You know what the interesting, you know what the really stupid part of Tokyo Police is? The fact that its final Hisatsu attack, which is a salvo of gun barrage, is called Police Smash.
Like I said, he smashes them with bullets.
That makes no sense!
The gun whips the bullets.
If he pistol whips someone, sure.
Not only did they smash him with bullets, it got smashed.
It's good enough
bullets.
For Hall Horse.
Fuck.
But yeah, I'm picking up the police Russia.
But yeah, Deka Gokaino definitely did it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're talking about tacking police things onto a Megazord,
yep.
Deka Gokaino.
Yep.
Damn.
Simple, but just entirely effective.
Yeah. Oh, still nothing beats the freaking Megazord from SPD where it turned into a giant gun.
That's cool. Okay. Itchy, do you have any points before I get into my...
This is a completely open forum thing for Tokyuger.
We kind of broke our own format for Tokyuger.
Whatever. Yeah, well, Tokyuger kind of breaks a lot of things.
Yeah.
Bring on Tokyurokugo, goddammit! I saw scans of what he looks like, and he's like in a full orange like construction outfit, and I'm like, hurry up and be a thing already. I want to see it.
Basically, 2 points, not important. I like how right at the opening, the cop just fucking like pulls an Ore Sanjo like a boss.
Yeah.
And then derps with his license.
When they're leaving to go to the town and like light goes up to Hikari, he's just like, Hikari, you coming with us? Nope. I'm going to finish my novel.
And
you guys go have fun.
And I snickered a little when he fucking henshins in the middle of the fucking hardware store.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, eh. That's pretty much it. I've said my piece.
Alright, now, I just had, like, a couple quick points regards to all this.
Something very interesting and...
Well, I'll get to the really interesting point in a minute, but the main thing, just, you know, through all this, nobody seems to really give a fuck about the Megazord battles. Like, I understand... that this is, like... What, number 37, 38?
It goes back to when we were talking about Grita standing on the platform. It's like, yeah, she's grotesque and evil, but people are just passing her by. They don't give a fuck because they've seen it plenty.
This is Sentai Series 38. You gotta think that since all the Super Sentai series are all in canon with one another in the same world, it's a matter of these people who live in this world have seen this shit.
Okay.
So many times that they just don't care anymore.
I just want to mention a quick point about Grita. The reason why no one gave a fuck is because they couldn't see her. Because, you know, the shadow line is also made of imagination.
Point. No. We've established in the series that people can see the shadows.
Oh, yes, but...
So why would we assume Grita's any different?
Because she's ugly.
Remember, it was mentioned that some guy did, like, a double take as he drove past her on his bike.
No, if people saw her, it's just everyone's so... jaded by this whole monsters thing now, after 38 Sentai series, that nobody in that world gives a fuck.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
You know, but still, at the same time, I look at this whole Tokyo is in the middle of the city fighting this monster, and there's all that collateral damage going around, and hang on a minute.
I just had a thought.
Itchy has this look on his face now where I'm just like, I know, it's the most horrifying thought in the world if you think about what might be going on here.
No, but I have an like, unrelated thought that's kind of related.
Yeah, all of this collateral damage, nobody is giving a fuck. The police haven't even noticed. They show the police officers still going about their business trying to figure out... where this criminal's gone. And here's this giant monster fighting a Megazord in the middle of the goddamn city, and they don't see it. It's like they haven't noticed it. Which brought me to another thought... Because we have established people can see the shadow monsters.
Yep.
But can people see Tokyo?
Probably not.
Because they can't see the trains, right?
Yeah.
Children can.
Yeah, no, but you gotta think. We've established the adults can see the shadow monsters. So how awkward does that Megazord battle look to the public?
All they see is the shadow monster getting its ass whooped.
All they see is the giant monster... getting its ass whooped around the
fighting
city.
Nothing.
No,
well, and nothing getting
you know what?
Ass kicked.
Counterpoint. They see this monster being attacked by something. I can only imagine what would be fighting that monster right now.
Oh,
there you go.
That is the
That's
moment.
How they
okay.
see it.
You know what? I feel like that could be addressed and confirmed in such a small amount of time that if they don't do it in an episode for the rest of this season... I call bullshit on that.
That is true.
My point on your theory that I just had. So, people without imagination can see Tokyo. I have a feeling that the Gaim Tokyuger crossover would have been no different if Tokyo was still in frame when Takatora turned his head.
That's a very good point. And that's why Takatora didn't see it. It's not just...
It's not just the fact that it ducked off camera in time.
Yeah, it's just... Dude is not imaginative in the least. Dude can't imagine any of this shit going south for him.
In fact, he flatly denied it.
Yeah, and that here we have it. Big fucking robot right outside of his window. Yeah, okay, the noise didn't bother him.
But that explains why he didn't hear the noise.
Exactly. Because he can't see it in the first place.
We've done it!
We've explained...
We cracked the code!
We've explained that dumbass fucking scene in the crossover, which was the best part of the crossover.
To the line of Christ.
Yes. That too.
Anyways, are we done?
Yes, I think we're pretty much done.
Anyways, this is a fun episode.
Yeah, if anyone who doesn't like Tokuger, I would still suggest you watch episode 14, because not only is it actually entertaining, but fans of Kamen Rider Double can see a little bit of what they like in it, because it is a parody of the detective genre. Anyways, thanks for listening. This has been episode 11 of Cast Ranger.
And we need to turn the AC back on in this room.
Yeah,
so, holy fuck!
I'm gonna be real quick. Subscribe to us on Podbean, YouTube, iTunes, ixystudios.ca,
Twitter.
Yeah, we're on Twitter. All of our Twitters
Tumblr
are
as well.
Tumblr.
Facebook,
Fastbox, Twitter.
Podbean.
Okay, we're done. I'm dying.
We're dying.
Subscribe to mortalboost.com.
Stay with us,
Bye.